know that when you hear feedback like that, it's actually not what you think it is. It's actually when the angels start singing with us and they're just getting in tune with how we're singing. That's what it is. Hopefully that will help your ears get used to it. Bless you guys. Sometimes it's a challenge when technology doesn't cooperate with us, but it's good to be in the presence of the Lord anyway. Hallelujah. We have so much more to be grateful for than we have to complain about. Turn to somebody to your left and to your right, in front of you and behind you, and greet them in the name of Jesus this morning. Hello to the people on my left. Hello to the people on my right. How's it, young'uns? Hello, young folks. Yay. Hello, other folks. Just choose words of respect here. Hallelujah. Colette sends her love and regards. She's getting on very, very well and getting healthier and stronger each day because I'm looking after her and because God is good. You must ask her what it's like to have me cook for her for 2 weeks. So if you see that her skin is glowing and she's looking healthy and whatever, you know, it's because I've been cooking for her. I can cook. I know how to make toast, ice blocks. I mean, it's the basics. I've got it. I know how to cook. I know how to cook. I'm not commenting on how well, but I know how to cook. Hallelujah. Listen, if my wife survives, then it's got to be okay. What have we been speaking about for the last couple of weeks? And what are we going to speak about this morning? There we go. And what's our foundation scripture? There we go. Malachi 4 verse 6, which says that his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. We've been looking at the four primary roles of a father. Who can remember at least one of them? What are the primary roles of the father? At least one. Somebody, speak to me, church. He establishes authority. He establishes moral authority, moral and spiritual authority. He confers identity. He provides security. Remember, that's what we spoke about last week. That to provide security, you need to do it in an atmosphere of love. And this week, we're going to speak about affirming potential. Affirming potential as the fourth role of a father. And it's exciting to see where God is taking us with this and how deeply this impacts all of our lives. We've said over and over that it's not just the fathers, it's for everybody. It helps the ladies, pray for the gents, helps children understand their parents, parents understand their children. And it's all for the purpose of helping fathers bring heaven home. That's the purpose. How many of you would like to experience a home life like that if you don't already? Having heaven at home. At the end of the day, we just wanted a place to be of blessing and peace, and where there's love shed amongst each other. And that's why this is so important. We've looked at the impact that fatherlessness has on the lives of people and on this nation, and how the greatest social problem that there is because of fatherlessness. And this is what gets addressed through these teachings that we're busy with. Affirming potential. And I'll just get that started at the back there, gents. The timer. Thank you. Affirming potential is critical because Satan is continuously attempting to destroy the self-image of people. It's not just making a person feel good and buttering up people's emotions. This is so critical because Satan is continuously attempting to destroy people's self-image. And the reason he's doing that is you might be some super duper special extra anointed gifted Christian that walks on water and hovers above the ground and raises a couple of people from the dead every day and preaches like the angel Gabriel. And you think, well, that's why the devil attacks you. The devil attacks you and hates you simply because you're made in the image of God. Even before you start living for the Lord Jesus, the devil wants to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it's critically important that we understand the role that fathers have to play in affirming people's potential because of this continuous onslaught from the devil to destroy people's self-image. When you start praying, what does he tell you? The devil. You're not praying enough. You're not praying enough. You're not praying right. When you start giving, what does he tell you? You're not giving enough. When you start coming to church, what does he tell you? You're not going to church enough. When you go to other churches, what does he tell you? Come to Bikers Church. No, no, no. When you start the Christian walk, he's always finding something to accuse you of. He's the accuser of the brethren, is one of his titles in Scripture. So it's critically important to understand the role that fathers play in affirming potential. And we're going to go and touch and remind ourselves about those two scriptures where God does that over Jesus as well in two passages of Scripture. So it's because of this continuous onslaught that the devil has to destroy people's image that it's important to us to affirm potential in people's lives. For a father to effectively affirm potential, it's important that the father is secure in his own identity in Christ. If you already start your day feeling, I'm a failure as a father, I can't do this, chances are you're not going to be able to affirm the potential of the loved ones in your life. So, gentlemen, it's important that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And we looked at this when we looked at how God confers identity, our fathers are supposed to confer identity. So it's important that the father is not shaped by the world's unscriptural, conventional vision of manhood. There's an unscriptural and a conventional vision of manhood in the world today. And let's unpack that a little bit here this morning. The worldly view of manhood is this, that a man is what he does. Think about that. You are what you do instead of your inherent self-worth. His value is earned, and it's got nothing to do with his inherent value for who he is as a son of God. Okay? And because of this, he becomes competitive in an unhealthy way to outperform others instead of uplifting others. You see, folks, our walk with the Lord Jesus, yes, there's benefit for us because we save by grace through faith and we promised an eternity with God in heaven, provided we stay obedient to the end. But we're not just saved for ourselves. How many of you know that? You're not just saved for ourselves. We save so that we can be a blessing to other people. When God starts blessing you in abundance, it's not so that your bank account can increase and increase and increase. It's that you can be a source of blessing to other people. That's what it's about. So the world view is that you start wanting to outperform others at the expense of others instead of uplifting others. Success is the goal at the expense of others, even one's own marriage and your own children. Get to the top of the corporate ladder as quick as possible. Do what it takes to get that next promotion, regardless of who you break down in the process. Regardless of who you break down in the process. It's dog, eat or be eaten. The reward of worldly conventional manhood is power, and it's usually in the marketplace. This worldly approach causes what we call, what's known as destination sickness. I'm going to recap that little passage just once more. The worldly, unscriptural, conventional view of manhood. Gentlemen, this needs to be eradicated in our lives, is the following. A man is what he does. His value is earned and not inherent. So he becomes competitive in an unhealthy way to outperform others instead of uplifting others. Success is the goal at the expense of others, even one's own marriage and children. It's dog, eat or be eaten. The reward of worldly conventional manhood is power. And it's usually in the marketplace. This worldly approach causes destination sickness. So what is destination sickness? Listen to this. It's a mouthful, but it is so profound. And may the Holy Spirit reveal it to our hearts this morning, folks. This is the syndrome of the man who has arrived, only to discover he's nowhere. He has achieved his goals, and he finds that they're not what he anticipated. He suffers the disillusionment of promises that petered out. The payout with the kickback. He has all the things that money can buy and finds decreasing satisfaction in all he has. He's the man who has become a whale of a success downtown with the boys and a pathetic failure at home. He's a big shot with the boys in the office and a phony with the boys at home. He's a status symbol in society and a fake with the family. The sickness is peculiar to a culture that is affluent, that means the bucks flow, but is godless. So we say all of that to help us as men understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Do we understand our inherent self-worth, that God loves us because He loves us because He loves us? That needs to be the foundation for us to affirm potential in the lives of our children and our loved ones. It's important for us to affirm potential in the lives of our children because God confirms our potential. He affirms our potential and who we are in Christ Jesus. Three scriptures quickly on this. John 14 and verse 12. This one, I'm still learning everything that this scripture has to teach as time goes on, because if you read it in the natural, just with what you see with your eyes, it's like, Lord, is this even possible? And Jesus says this in John 14 and verse 12. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Jesus says we will do greater works than Him. Think about that for a moment, folks. Can God lie? The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. So yeah, Jesus is saying that we're going to do greater works than Him. How is that even possible? What does that mean? I submit to you that then we should open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits to what God showed us what greater works means. What does greater works mean? Men will have a longer time and a greater opportunity, generally speaking, to impact the lives of others like Jesus had. He had 3.5 years to do it. Greater works we will do than Jesus. That's how God confirms and affirms our potential. This is how God starts to speak this over our lives, that we can understand this for ourselves as God affirms the potential in our lives. John 20 and verse 21, Jesus says, peace be with you. Say to your neighbor, peace be with you. Say, peace, bro. Hey. Peace. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. What an encouragement and endorsement from God on us. Jesus saying, as God has sent me, I'm sending you in the same way. Yes, Lord, let's go and lay down our lives for others. How many of you know what John 3:16 says? Speak to me, church. Guys, you've got to do much, 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 much better than that. John 3:16 says, I'm going to help you this morning because I love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says, what does 1 John 3:16 says? How we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren as well. So Jesus says, as God has sent me, I'm sending you into the world. So that which you're putting in all your effort, all your time, all your resources, your finances, your studying, is it something that's worth dying for? Is it something that's going to have eternal value? When everything physical has come and gone, how much of what you're building into and laying down your life for is going to remain standing? What a challenge. This statement has been said, I don't know who said it, a famous person said, so therefore I always say, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. God affirms our potential. As Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, a third scripture where our potential is affirmed by God. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead and say, come back to God. So in a ministry context where you're encouraging somebody to acknowledge their careers of sin and saying, repent and come to God, ask for his forgiveness. It's Christ Jesus speaking through you. It's how God affirms our potential. And you thought you were just a muhu. Yes, Lee. Or maybe you think you're super, super, super olic and not doing any of these things. God has amazing things to do on the other side of your obedience. Affirming positive behavior has a much stronger developmental empowering effect than correcting negative behavior. Affirming positive behavior has a much more stronger developmental empowering effect than correcting negative behavior. It's been said it's much, much better than to steer children in the right direction than to try and fix broken adults. Isn't it incredible? They take scripture and the Bible out of prisons, out of schools, out of the workplace, out of government, and when people end up in prison, what do they give them? A Bible. Wat julle? Dis bietjie agterste voor daai. Dis bietjie agterste voor. If a person has the privilege of having a godly foundation laid in their lives by godly fathers who understand their roles and responsibilities towards the children because they understand who they are in Christ Jesus. And when men become builders instead of players. And when I say players, guys, it can be anything. There's nothing wrong enjoying your PlayStation 11 or wherever it is, or your golf, or your shooting, or your, I had to say that for the shooters, or whatever it is that floats your boat. But there must be a godly balance in your life. That it's not just about what we can get out of it, but that we can be a blessing to other people. That men can be builders, nurturers, instead of just players. It's critically important for this. So what kind of affirmations are there? Affirmations should include those for self-confidence, where the child can develop their inner strength, knowing that he or she is inherently valuable and unique. In other words, they're precious because of who God has made them. Who God has made them. So you get spiritual affirmations. They're great in making the child feel full of love, unique, forgiving, thankful, grateful, and content in the way they've been created. Spiritual affirmations. Finding scriptures that you can speak over your child's life. I remember the first time guy that I considered, I still do, you know, my best friend, longest standing friend. I met him when I was 4 years old and he was 5 years old. Had the privilege of leading him and his wife to the Lord after I got saved. Today, they're still serving the Lord and leading other people to the Lord. He's a chaplain in another motorcycle ministry, so it's good to see the guy just go on with the Lord. I remember, how did I get to this? What was I? Come on. Oh, yeah, spiritual affirmation. Finding scriptures to positively speak over each other. I remember this guy, when it was his time to get married, we had a bachelor's party. And the traditional thing is, you do all these things that like degrade the people. They've got to dress funny and they've got to go out in the street and they've got to do all these things. And actually, the person is just like belittled. Sometimes I've heard of stories where the guys have been locked on a train or been given so much alcohol they pass out, put in a train, and the destination takes them thousands of, or hundreds of kilometers away from the wedding venue. Dan moet hulle sukkel om terug te kom. Things like that. And then I was exposed to this idea. How's about on the day of a person's bachelor party, speaking words of blessing over their lives? How's about giving them gifts that could be of benefit to them? Giving them something that testifies to the goodness of their character. Building into their lives instead of the bankrupt worldly idea of having a bachelor's party where they're going to down all these stupid simple drinks and goodness like that. And I thought to myself, wow, if I had an opportunity to do it differently, what would I do? So spiritual affirmation, finding scriptures to positively speak over your children. Not scriptures like, and the Lord struck him dead. Not scriptures. Sometimes as parents, I'm sure you want to. Some, be if you're honest with yourself, but that's why we need the grace of God and the help of God in our lives. Spiritual affirmation. Then you get emotional affirmations. Impact the feelings and create feelings of being loved, beautiful, and happy, etc. Because we are emotional beings. That's part of who we are as people. Isn't it so? Die ding fun. Cowboys don't cry. Well, thank God I'm not a cowboy. Woody from Toy Story, he's a cowboy. Clint Eastwood is a cowboy. John Wayne was one as well. But I'm not a cowboy. We created in the image of God, and Jesus cried. God cried. So that thing of cowboys don't cry and not expressing emotions is it's just not on, people. I don't know where we get that idea from. So that's emotional affirmations. Then you get social affirmations. In the social context, affirming your child, affirming your colleagues, your loved ones, your friends. Social affirmations will create friendly children. I remember, we know this family. What a dysfunctional family. The woman was on husband number, I don't know what, I lost count. And when you come into the presence and you greet the child, like, let's say the child's name was Kevin, for argument's sake. Hello, Kevin. His response was this, literally. Now, I'm not knocking them because they didn't have a Christ-like influence, and I understand years later the lady gave her life to the Lord and started mending her ways, but social affirmation creates friendly children. I'm not talking about the natural shyness that a child has to strangers. Waar was ek nou die dag? Ek het iemand se kind hier buite gegroet. I was greeting the child. Esther, ja, jylle klein kind. This beautiful little girl. And I love other people's children because you can give them back. I'm just kidding. I love children. Go and ask the kids next door and they'll tell him Uncle Mozzie loves them. But this little girl, she doesn't only greet me friendly, she somehow wants to kiss me. I'm like, my heart melted, Yella. I'm telling you. And then Esther and them was telling us now that they moet eindelijk keer because she's like over friendly with everybody. So I'm not talking about that natural shyness, but the friendliness in a child. Social affirmations help the children become good listeners. They have good self-expression ability to express themselves, and they have compassion for others. And then there's physical affirmations. Help the person create a healthy physical self-image of themselves. Instead of these airbrushed plastic people that you see on the covers of publications and on social media websites. Have you seen all the software apps that are available today to make people look like nobody looks? There's just like not a, it's, mensen, those people don't look like those people. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. You know, how come is it that so much emphasis on beauty is put into oil of delay? And all these other war paint products. Ladies, I'm not knocking that, you know. When I get an opportunity, I encourage ladies, wear makeup in such a way that it's not evident that you're wearing makeup. I'm not saying don't put your whatever on, your war paint and all stuff like that, but do it in such a way that it's not evident. There's a way to do it that, you know, listen, who am I to talk about makeup? Lord Jesus. Nee, Here, help me, asseblief. All I'm saying is just happens. I've got to talk myself out of this hole. There must be physical affirmations here. Years ago, I did a couple of advertisements because it's fun and it's cheap and you get paid good money. I appeared in a couple of advertisements in South Africa and a couple of advertisements overseas until the FBI and the Truth and Reconciliation started catching up to me and I stopped. But for those things, you had to put makeup on. It's like the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing. But just that the camera wouldn't blow a fuse or something when the camera's on you, they had to put stuff on you. It's like weird, weird, weird. In productions at school as well, they put makeup on your face for the roles that you play. But this is important, guys and ladies, physical affirmation. So we see spiritual affirmations, emotional affirmations, social affirmations, and physical affirmations. practical ways in which we can do this. You think, hey, Mozzie, that's great. It's a little bit complicated for this time on a Sunday morning, but practically, how do I do this? Let's look at seven things quickly. Give the praise or the affirmation immediately when the person does the good deed or does the thing that you deem worthy. Not later, once the moment has passed away. If it is as far as it is possible, do it immediately in the heat of the moment, so to speak. Be specific in telling them what they did right. The third one, tell the child or the person how good you feel about what they did right and how it helps the family or the organization. It's about the feeling and the atmosphere that it creates. Number four, stop for a moment of silence to give them a sense of how good you feel. Now, this might sound like a little bit Hollywood and dramatic, but you say, Johan, Mabut, I just want to thank you for being a man of character and integrity. The reason I say that is, can you see? Just that, like, let it sink in has an impact on people. Number five, encourage them to do more of the same. Number six, affirm the child or the person according to their unique gifts, not comparing them to others. I've heard this many times. You know, if you could only be like your brother, or if you could only be like your sister, or your brother would never, or your sister, no. Affirm and encourage the person according to their own unique gifting and abilities for who they are. That's very, very important that we do that. Okay? If you, and then also affirm the child's gender identity. Whew. You know, out of all 7 points, that's the only one where people started saying amen on. And the reason being is it's so critical today. It's so critical today, ladies and gentlemen. Affirm the person's gender identity. For example, the girls for their femininity and the boys for their masculinity. And please don't do it by saying, well, yes, a man as ye, or you my boy if you. No, that's how God created them. That's how God created them. If you have a womb, you are a woman. If you have... If you do not have a womb, you're a man. You're a man.